Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. God is good. Jesus Christ is alive and well. We are the children of the pioneers, and we're going where no man's gone before. We're ready to explore and to discover the new vistas of God's glory. Get ready. Everything is about to change, and we're excited about that change because we are believers in Jesus Christ. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We follow him wherever he leads, and we know that he's gone before us to prepare the way as the great forerunner of our faith. He has granted access into the kingdom of heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, we are engaged and involved in an eternal purpose, an eternal calling. Can you imagine? We have eternal life, and this moment here on planet Earth is just a small preview of what God is about to do in the lives of those who trust him and have come to him through faith in his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Can you imagine? Where we're going is an amazing place. It is a place where there's no more tears, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more weeping, no more hunger, no more darkness, no more trouble. Oh my goodness, Father God, you are great, and you are greatly to be praised. And so today we are going to have an amazing broadcast because it's time for me to introduce once again my dear brother in the Lord, Pastor David Obenauer. He's joining us right now. I'm going to bring him into the broadcast studio. Hello, Brother Dave.
Hello, brother. And hello, everybody out there. How y'all doing?
Man, we're doing great. Brother David, it's good to have you, Pastor Dave. There you go. Now you're focused. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the gentleman we went up to see in South Dakota. He and his lovely wife, Victoria, the greatest host, the greatest pastors. They've done the most amazing work. Pastor Dave, how are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm really doing good. I'm excited about what's coming. I'm looking forward to everything else that's gonna just break forth into the earth. You know, these are exciting times, and these are what the apostles long for. They wanted to see the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and here we are on the brink of it.
Amen. So we're going to get into the depths of what's going on across the country and around the world right now, and some prophetic things that I know God has put in your heart for this moment. But let's talk a little bit about our trip to South Dakota, and let's just kind of share, what was your perspective about the trip?
When Ken and Kathy came in, they were sharing, I had a brother down south, and we're a lot alike, and I didn't know you. I never met you before. And so there was a little bit of anticipation and excitement, and I'm sitting there, and I'm waiting. And then you show up. I'm listening, and I listened to you. I was listening to your videos, and it's like, this guy's right on. He's really right on. And so we were looking forward to it, and the anointing that came with you, my brother, was breaking bondages. And we've had some wonderful advancements since you left.
Hallelujah.
With a couple of young ones.
So overall, the meeting was very successful. We were thrilled. We were treated like royalty out there by all of you. We felt a real acceptance and a real blessing. And what do you think Father God established in that gathering, Pastor Dave?
I think the main thing is the body of Christ is starting to really wake up. See, they got to hear from you, Pastor Vincent, the same thing I've been proclaiming. And so it's another word. It's the second confirmation. And with that, God confirms everything with two or three witnesses. And you were the second witness that came forth. Now, granted, we can hear other things from YouTube, et cetera. There's some good men and women that are on there. However, when we're sitting here in little old South Dakota where nobody knows us, I mean, in fact, they wanted to bring their nuclear waste and garbage from New York here. We're sitting here and we're getting ready quietly. We're locked and loaded, so to speak, with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And we're expecting wonderful signs and wonders to start breaking out. The dead being raised, people getting set free, limbs growing out, the gifts of the Spirit. And the Word tells us to desire the gifts, and we need them for weapons in this time. But it's more important that we pursue the love of God and let that fruit grow.
Amen. Amen. All right, so I believe that God has established, he's networking, he's connecting, he's knitting our hearts together in love throughout this nation. It began in the first fruits of Acacia, if you will, down in Tyler, Texas. It's a movement that God is involved in. We're just the vessels. We're just the people that are available to him because we've basically said, Lord, it's not my will, but your will be done. It's not my life. It's not my ministry. It's whatever you want. And we found it absolutely amazing to go down to Tyler, Texas, and then up to South Dakota and to meet brethren who are very much like-minded, who have the passionate heart, and God is forming relationship, and we value that. That is something to be guarded and protected. And so that was our perspective going into it, and I just feel like something began. Something was initiated by the Spirit of God. And we now have a few fellowships that are growing down in Tyler, up in South Dakota. And what I'm excited about, Pastor Dave, is, and I want everybody out there to put this on your calendar right now, okay? Patricia and I woke up this morning. We are so excited in our spirit. We really believe the breath of God is breathing this into existence. October 2nd, just a few months away now, begins the Great Feast of Tabernacles. It is a Friday evening, and in the Hebrew calendar, the day begins when the sun sets. So on the setting of the sun Friday evening, we are going to begin to celebrate for a number. This is the 31st year that we have been celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles in a biblical sense, in a new covenant way, not an Old Testament way. And it's the intrinsic value of this feast and what it means to the body of Christ and how we'll get into all of that. But October 2nd. I'm already inviting Pastor Dave and Victoria to come down to be part of our guest speakers. Daniel Seckham has been invited to come from Australia. I'm going to be inviting Pastor Kevin Honeycutt from Tennessee. And I just believe God wants, and from Tyler, Texas, we'll see what God does there. But it's time to come up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And when the wind of the Spirit gets into your sails, man, I believe it's going to be an amazing time for the body of Christ. So October 2nd to October 9th, we're going to be hosting it again here in Northwest Arkansas. And I'm inviting Pastor Dave Victoria to come on up to be one of the guest speakers here and bring their family. And then our friends in Minnesota and our friends in Iowa, we're going to, I believe by October, we're going to see some other things begin to transpire. My brother, Vinny Pots and Pans. And by the way, Vinny Pots and Pans, if you're listening, and when you are listening, Your music from the 1980s was awesome. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. So, Pastor Dave, another thing before we get rolling here. So this Feast of Tabernacles 2020, October 2nd to October 9th, I already know exactly the theme that God wants for it. But Pastor Dave, you're starting your own. You and Victoria are going to have your own blog talk radio. And you guys are starting it. And let me just give a little information out that I've gotten, and you can confirm everything. Beginning next Monday, that is July 27th. You guys put this on your calendar. July 27th at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Pastor Dave is going to be doing a broadcast, maybe with Victoria. I'm not sure how they're going to do it. But Monday, 8 p.m., July 27th. And the way to find them is blogtalkradio.com/ROFM, River of Fire Ministries, ROFM. So if you go Monday, 8 o'clock, Central Standard Time, to blogtalkradio.com/ROFM, you will find Pastor Dave. And then, of course, they'll be on their Facebook going through YouTube, Facebook as well, just like we're doing right now. So they'll have video. They'll have a call-in number on their Blog Talk Radio. So if people want to call in, let me give you that number as well. Their call-in number Monday night at 8 p.m. is 516-418-5801. Thanks for being patient with me, Pastor Dave. So again, Monday and Wednesday, but it begins this coming Monday, July 27th. They're going to do it twice a week to begin, Monday and Wednesday, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. The call-in number on Blog Talk Radio is 516-418-5801. To get to their Blog Talk station, it will be blogtalkradio.com/ROFM. And this is River of Fire Ministries. All right, anything that I forgot, Pastor Dave?
No, nothing.
We're good to go. All right. So very good. Pastor Dave, I woke up this morning hearing the same reports that you did. The federal government is sending in investigators to the different cities that are in trouble, particularly in Portland right now. But there are a number of cities where they're throwing now projectiles that could kill. And so there's a real battle mounting. We're beginning to see that third wave begin to rise, the sword of war. We're watching very carefully what we see right now to see if we're accurate in what God is revealing, because if this third wave rises, and it is the sword of war, and we're watching what's going on in the consulate in Houston, they were burning documents. The Chinese were. It wasn't a fire. They were burning documents. Someone yesterday said that's exactly what the Japanese did the day before Pearl Harbor. They started burning the documents. And so China, again, there's a little, you know, fisticuffs going on there. Prophetically across the country, there seems to be judgment hitting the nation. We still have a sleeping church. Maybe I'm not sure where people are right now, but if they're not awakening at this point, what's it going to take to wake up the church, Pastor Dave?
That's a good question. When you look at the word, if you look at Jacob and Esau, you look at the pastors throughout the land, and what have they taught? They taught prosperity. They taught all this garbage that has absolutely to do nothing with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And so you look at Joseph with his mom, okay, being the authority figure, as the pastors are the authority figures in the churches, they deceived. And Jacob got the blessing. So when you're sitting there and you look what happened with Jacob, he's running and he's running and he's running. And now it gets to the point in his life as he matures a little bit more, where he's starting to think for himself, that he's studying the word, so to speak, as you and I are studying the word, as the Christians out there are studying the word. We're realizing that God will bless us and God wants to bless us. But what's happened with the mother, it was deception coming out of the pulpit. And so we're following prosperity, and I got that echo again. So I don't, and it's on you too. So
there's echo.
Yeah, echo. I hear you repeat, and I hear myself repeat. But anyhow, when you're looking at the word and we look at ourselves, because the word is a mirror for us. And where the mother of Jacob was involved with Jacob in the deceiving of the blessing. So you and I, we've been deceived with many pastors out there. No, a lot of us have sincere hearts and truly love the Lord. But what we find out is if we're not hearing the word of God with reproving, rebuking, and correction and telling us where we have to go and what we have to get ready for what is coming upon the earth and coming into our lives, then we're no different than Jacob. And eventually Jacob gets to the point where God speaks to him and says, return back to the land, which I told you is yours. And Jacob was afraid to go there. And how many Christians today are afraid to press in to go to the land of promise? See, the Lord's coming back and he's going to gather up his saints. But in the meantime, we, the church, we have to deal with some issues in our heart. And that's what Jacob had to do. You know, he sent his tribe out before him, his wives, all his sheep and the goats, whatever he had to meet Esau, because he was afraid because Esau was going to kill him. That's the last he remembered. And that's what he had to live with. You and I have to live with all this garbage of this prosperity message. And like I said, God will bless you. And we're expecting God to bless us, right? So as we press in now, we have to get rid of some of this previous stuff and really take a look at what's going on around us. You know, when God tells us to do something, we have to be bold enough to step out and do it. When he says, share the word, you know, it's not so much that the church has to get involved in protesting, but what we need to do is we need to get involved in prayer. And because when we're in prayer and when we're pressing it together collectively or independently at home alone, and a lot of times the victories come when we're home alone in prayer, when we're pressing and praying for them, God can send ambushes. And it's like the parties in these cities that are run by these other leaders, you could say, that took an oath in office to protect America, they're not doing it. And so maybe these are some of those ambushes coming in. Maybe President Trump does give us a little bit of time, but you know what? I don't care how much time we have, because it's very short. We have things that are shifting and changing right before us. And if we don't deal with things in our heart, much like Jacob had to before facing Esau, we're not going to get anywhere.
Well, you're right on about that. You know what's very interesting? And by the way, that little thing that's hanging down from your ears, your ear pods, that's okay. You doing good there?
How's that?
That's great. Yeah, just when it was moving, remember I had the pen up there. You're doing great. But you know what, the scripture, I heard you mention this back up in South Dakota as well, about the setting of the ambushes. Do you know that comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 20? And it literally talks about in 2020, they rose early in the morning. They went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And then it says that while they began to praise the Lord, that he set ambushments for the enemy. And that's the 2 Chronicles 20:20, and we're in the year 2020. I think that's pretty cool that if we would believe the Lord, we would be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And so God is calling his people to a time of prosperity, true prosperity, not of materialistic things, but to prosper even as your soul prospers. And we're never going to know any prosperity if we don't know the prosperity of the soul. And to have confidence and to be bold and to be strong in the time that we're living in.
Amen. Amen. So when you look at it, in the morning where they rose early, David also, in the morning he rose up early. And that means it's a new day, a new beginning. And see, we have a new beginning for the church. We have a new beginning for each and every one of us as we're pressing into the things of God now. And as we're pressing in on these things, we're going to see all this stuff around us. You know, I want to ask a question. Psalms 91, when the Word of God says 1,000 will fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, what does that look like? See, when I look at the Word and I go to the grocery store, and now it's being mandated even up here, not because of our governor or any of our officials, but it's being mandated that we have to wear masks. Well, says who? And what does 1,000 fall by your side look like? See, when I walk through these stores and I see all these people conforming, and they're conforming to an evil plan, an evil agenda, much like the Jews going into the word I'm looking for, the concentration camps, not even knowing where they're heading to their own deaths. They're just accepting what's been coming. And so we have to take a look at the Word of God, and we have to truly examine our hearts. Because whether we live or die, we're God's. And a lot of times, we simply don't know or don't believe the Word. And as we're sitting and looking at this Word, if we're not making these corrections like Jacob did, because he wrestled with God that one night. He got rid of everybody around him, and he dived in prayer, and he struggled with that angel. He wrestled with God. And he wouldn't let him go. Now, Jacob always ran, and in the morning, he had to touch the hollow of his hip. And so he had a limp. And see, but what did Jacob do? He sent everything out before him to meet his brother. You and I have to send everything out, let go of everything to see God, to press into the things of God, to hear God properly, and then to go forward in courage and faith, and to watch what the Lord is going to do. And it, you know, Brother Vincent, we are right on the cliff of this thing, of it really getting going. It's either going to go one way or the other here, and it's hard to say which pops, but it's going to pop.
Amen. Hey, Pastor Dave, do me one more favor. It's okay. We've got a lot of good time. We're going to get into this. With your movement, because you're like an Italian. You keep moving with your hands. You speak with your hands. So what that's doing is picking up some background stuff. So,
okay.
Yeah, so just hold that together, because your information is way too important right now. So, okay. Pastor David Obenauer, encouraging the body of Christ to prepare for the times we're in right now. It's a strategic time. And I believe that God is really wanting to and I got Elder, I've got a call coming in here. Let me just find out if everything's working fine here. Hold on 1 second.
Yes, yeah, really 479903,
you're on the air.
I got a call coming in here. Let me just find out if everything's working
okay,
fine.
Okay, there's a
here.
Lot of background.
Yes,
hello, 903, you're on the air.
479903, you're on the air.
Okay, it looks like we lost that. So I'm hearing a lot of
hello, 903, you're on the air.
All right. So, Dave,
yes.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm excited about what God is really getting ready to do with his body, and to see the remnant church rise up and to literally become one. Not the fake church that the Bible talks about, but the true believers. And what's happening is, they're coming out of these standard churches, these traditional churches. They're coming into these home groups, much like the book of Acts. And this has begun. It started probably at least 20 years ago, but they were small pockets. But now we have a lot more, and it's just beginning to grow, because the people of God are truly hungry for the Word of God, and we're not getting it from the pulpits. And Jeremiah 12:10 says, my pastors have destroyed my vineyards, or the fivefold ministry. If you look at Isaiah, I think it's 56:10 or so, where they're dumb dogs. And so when you have, there's few men and women of God that were out there that were proclaiming the word, that didn't receive the doctrine of Baal, where they're about the money, or the church is a business. The church was never meant to be a business, was never meant to be a family business, but yet there's a lot of cases where it is. So my question is where are the true shepherds? Now, the people should not have to drive for 2 hours, 3 hours to make a Sunday service to get the word. There's got to be people, there's got to be men and women of God that are willing to rise up, where they can start their home groups and press in.
Yeah, that was the cry of your heart while we were up in South Dakota. And that cry was, I mean, it came so expressively out of you that people were coming down from Minnesota, taking, you know, driving for over 2 hours just to get to a meeting where they could be fed. And there were a lot of people up in that area in South Dakota that you could tell are absolutely, you know, hungering and starving, and there's warfare going on, and there needs to be, you know, that ministration. And so there you guys are, set up by the Spirit of the Lord to minister to the body of Christ. And let me tell you, that's a work. That is a, you know, that that's a real work to start ministering in people's lives, to see the captives set free. But what a glorious work it is, and how rewarding is that? But it's imperative, Pastor Dave, that God's people are free at this moment to be able to get ready to go through, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. If the people of God are not set free, we're puppets. That's all we are. We're puppets. I'm trying to think of my words here carefully because I want to say a couple of things. But when you're looking at the body of Christ in general, there's pockets that are waking up. And when you look at Gideon and his army, there was only 300, and they did great things. God told David not to number his army because he didn't want David, King David, relying on his own strength or the ability of his military. Or if he went up against a greater army, such as what we're doing now, if we just look at our numbers, we don't compete. We can't fight and we can't win this battle. But this is where God gets involved. And when you look back at the word, like, I'm going to just read one scripture out of Genesis 32:24. Jacob was left alone, and there he wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And as Jacob was alone and pressing in, you see the wonderful things where God is dealing with him in his heart. And the church, when we get alone and we get in that quiet time to pray, that's where God will give us this insight, the understanding, the revelation of what to do. He may have you move out of the city. He may have you move to another area. There are areas on this country and in this country that are marked for destruction. We had the solar eclipse that came across America back in 2017. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we had America rejoicing. They were out there drinking and having a good time. And they didn't realize they're rejoicing for judgment coming at them. And judgment's coming at them. And as it's coming at them, they're up there drinking their beers and having a good time, partying, whatever, and committing fornication, and they got their idolatries. And yet, as this has passed, we've seen hurricanes. We've seen fires. We've seen a lot of things start taking place over America because it's a warning for correction for America. It's a warning. And America's not getting it, and its church hasn't really got it yet. I haven't heard pastors talking about this. And yet in 2024, we have another one coming up through Mexico, and we'll leave right out Maine. It makes an X right in the middle of the United States, which means America is now marked. It's been marked by God, and because of our abominations, our sins, our kicking out of God, the church playing church, the church having all kinds of idolatry, fornications, everything else, living together, having homosexuals and everything else, and maybe I can't say that word, serving in the pulpits. And you know what? This is an abomination before our Lord. And I'm trying to stop this. This is not moving here. Sorry, guys.
And Dave, we're just giving you the you know, this is right now. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So, again, to our friends out there, here's what's happening in our technical part of this broadcast. Pastor Dave and Victoria, they're launching, man, and all the fine tuning is taking place right now. There's a little echo. They're dealing with that, and I'm trying to work some things out. But I want your message to keep going forward. So I'm going to just kind of give you some space, Pastor Dave, to just speak your heart to the body of Christ that's out there today. The things that are just so deep inside of you that you're sharing even right now. So please have your freedom. I'm going to try to work on some things.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand one thing. It's the attitude of our heart. You know, if you'll run before God, and if you want to be clean and pure, I'm going to ask you to start crying out for the fire of God. And as you look at as you're seeking God and you're asking him for that fire, he said he would baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And I think the body of Christ is missing the fire. See, it's the fire that burns in the bones that will cause you to speak up. It's the fire that's in the bones that'll cause you to stand and make the stand for righteousness. And it doesn't matter if it will cost you your life or not. See, whether we live or die, we're the Lord's. And what we have to do is we have to love this book and fall back in love with Christ in such a way. See, we left our first love, most of us have, because life's been easy, it's been good, and we've been blessed, and America has been blessed, and hopefully you've been greatly blessed by God. You know, I've been so blessed because I own a business, and I started a business. God has blessed the work of my hands, and I've been able to, I've had the toys, I had the toy haulers, I had the Corvette, I had the boat, I had the motorcycle, the Harley Davidson. The only thing I haven't had is a plane, but it's not about the stuff, and I don't even have that stuff anymore. It doesn't satisfy. It's nice to have. And you can have those things. Nothing wrong with having those things. But you can't let those things have you. See, what's happened in America is Deuteronomy 8. We have forgotten the Lord our God when he's gone to blessing us. All of a sudden now, those of you that may have a boat, do you quit serving in the nursery on a Sunday because now it's a weekend, it's a great day to take the boat out on the water? These are the things I want you to look at. Look in your own heart. Because you and I don't want to be that place where Jesus looks at us and says, depart from me, for I don't know you. That means we're in hell for an eternal flame ever and ever. And we will rehearse everything, every word we ever heard of the gospel, all because we're playing games with God and not being serious. And this is an urgent time, and this is the time that the apostles longed for. God has you and I born for this hour. It's going to be great things. The word says believers. Are you a believer? Are you a believer? See, the word says believers shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. What does that look like? It means you have the courage because of the fire of God to pray for someone that they'll allow you to lay your hands on them. You're not the healer, but God desires to flow right through you. He wants to turn this world upside down just like he did with the apostles. Right side up, that is. And if you and I aren't his mouthpiece, if you and I ain't hungering after God, if you and I ain't really crying out for God, see, it's not that I'm asking you to spend an hour or 2 hours in prayer every day and reading the Word of God. I don't know your schedule. God does. But you can allow and make room in your schedule to give him maybe 10 minutes in the morning, another 20 minutes in the evening, or however that works for you, and really press in, block everything out. See, when you're praying and you're thinking about everything else other than God and the Lord on the throne, are you really praying? See, to pray is to fellowship with your Father. Much like that Pastor Vincent and I are talking back and forth now, I'm listening intently to what he's saying so I can respond properly to him. And we need to be listening intently to what our Heavenly Father is saying so that we can respond appropriately to him and what he's telling us to do, because for you it may be different for the next guy. You know, the word of God says, I will turn the hearts of the fathers back to the kids and the children back to the fathers. What's it going to take for that to happen? Is it going to take a major calamity? See, do these young kids know how it can? You know what I mean by that is you grow your fruits and vegetables in the garden. Do you know how to can these young kids? Yet the older kids and even some of us that are in mid-age don't even know how to can. And so here's the turning back where we need the kids for the technology. They can teach us some of these things that will really help us out here, especially me in this time. But that's neither here nor there. But, you know, when you look at it, you know, I can learn some things from the older ones as they can learn things from us. And so all of a sudden pride gets moved aside because we're looking at preserving our life. When you look at Jacob and Esau, no, he sent everybody ahead of him because he was afraid for his life. He was afraid of Esau. He wanted to preserve his life. His life's become blessed, and God now told him to go back. And he's like, this is why he's wrestling with God. What are you wrestling with God with? What is he trying to get out of your life that you've been hanging on to? See, sometimes there's pornography. When does that come into a man's life? That can come into a man's life, and for you that are older, probably when you're in your teens. Now these kids, it's coming into their lives when they're 5, 6, 7 years old. You know, and these images have to get burned out. Well, how are you going to get rid of these images? You have to go to God. It's nobody else's business. You go to God. And if you're struggling with pornography, if you now let's take the mask off. Let's get real. If you're struggling with pornography, you're struggling with masturbation, you're struggling with fornication, sex outside of marriage. If you're having affairs, you need a heart change. But you can't get that heart change by going to church on Sunday morning or hearing a word, whether it's from me or from Pastor Vincent. Just hearing a word is not enough. What you have to do is constantly get on your knees before God and pray and confess your sin before Him. And as you confess your sin before the Lord and ask Him to help you conquer this thing, little by little, He'll start dealing with you. It's like an IV drop. You know, when somebody's sick in the hospital, they get him an IV to get him the fluids that he needs, and it's a drip. And that's the glory of God coming into us. But it comes through the prayer sessions. See, if God just poured all his glory in us, we just burn up. Poof, we'd be gone. Guys, we would be gone. We cannot handle his glory. This is why the sin has to come out of our lives, and we got to press in. But going back to the deal thing, maybe it's gambling. Oh, you know, then you go and you gamble again. Some people, it's destroyed many lives, just the dinging. It excites the brain. It does something. And 1 in 5 of us have addictive personalities. And so with that addictive personality, gentlemen, ladies, what we're seeing, all you got to do is do it once and you're hooked. And it can destroy your life. And it's only the power of God that will literally break those chains free. So how do we get that operating? Well, I've been praying about this, Pastor Dave. I've been praying that I'd be set free from this and that, and I'm still in bondage. Continue to pray. See, when you hit your knees and you start praying, you continue to pray, and every day you continue to pray. See, you're wrestling with God like Jacob did. He wrestled. He struggled. He wrestled. All night long, he wrestled with this. How many of you stayed up all night long to pray about that thing you're dealing with? And well, I did it because I have to work in the morning. Well, okay. So then it's going to take a series of nights, maybe weeks, maybe months, maybe a couple of years for some of you. But if you're diligent and if you press in, God is faithful and he will set you free. But how bad do you want to be set free? See, don't tell me you want to be set free, but you ain't willing to pray about this yourself. You ain't willing to be hitting your knees constantly. If you're tempted to look at the computer with pornography, for example, because pornography is the number one thing that's known among women right now, and you want to see, you want to watch pornography or whatever that is, it's never satisfying, and it'll just keep sucking you in. But see, when you're tempted to go there, do you hit your knees and do you pray and do you cry out to God? And maybe you do, maybe you have, and maybe you pray for 5, 10 minutes and you're good. And maybe you made it through that morning or that evening and only to find yourself doing it the next morning. You have to press through. And these are some of the hard things. These are the battles that you and I have to fight. See, God is coming back for a glorious church, one without spot and wrinkle, one that is full of strength, the glory of the Lord, not strength in ourselves, but because it's God's grace in you and I that's able to do what you and I don't have the ability to do. Perhaps you want to share the gospel with people, but you lack boldness. Well, the Bible tells us we can pray for boldness, and we need to pray for boldness. And so as we're sitting here and we're praying for boldness, God, grant thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word by stretching forth our hands to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Jesus. Or as the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 6, and for me, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds. And you and I are ambassadors for Christ. See, we don't seek the things of this world. We get to enjoy them. But when, like with China, what they're doing with the burning, if we're going to war with China, they'll pull out all their ambassadors. And just before God goes to war, okay, with the world here, we're going to escape. We're going to be caught up from, so we're not in deal. We don't have to deal with God's wrath, but we will have to deal with the tribulation. And we're going to have to know how to walk through this. And how can you hear God if you're full of sin? And how will God hear your prayer if you're embracing your sin? See, this, we don't hear this much in the pulpits, talking about sin, talking about your heart. Is it really right? What is that one thing that God is talking to you about right now? Even as I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit is saying, what about this? What about that? Maybe you're greedy. Maybe you're a workaholic. And maybe you're just working like crazy to provide for your family. The Word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. See, do we really believe this? Do we believe Psalms 91, 1,000 will fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand, but it will not come near you or I? What does that look like? Have you seen 1,000 dead on your left? You may. What's the stench going to smell like? Are you going to be able, by God's grace, to walk through it? Because if you're playing church, you're not going to make it. See, this is a heartfelt cry that God is asking us to return back to him. We've been blessed in America, as I said earlier. We've been greatly blessed. But we also walked away in those, because of those blessings. We left our first love. So how do we cultivate that again? Well, first we start by saying, Lord, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. It's kind of like fasting. You can fast, and you can do it in your own strength. It's a miserable fast. Or you can ask God for the grace to fast, and you'll be surprised the difference, and you're able to press in. So coming back to the Word, when you look at the Word, Lord, give me your heart. Help me to hunger after you. Help me to long for you. You know, I wanna press in. Give me a heart. Your Word says, I have hid your Word in my heart that I may not sin against you. And so when you look at this Word, are you hiding it in your heart? Are you meditating? Are you dwelling on it? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you should meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do. What are you observing to do? See, when you read the Gospels, observe yourself walking right beside Jesus when he says, I will be thou healed. Or come out of him, you unclean spirit, and torment him no more. See, are you seeing yourself walking with Christ? We have a dying world, and many are scared, and many are in the multitude of decision. And it's how you and I represent our King will make all the difference in the world to them. It will usher forth the peace of God. It will usher forth the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the greatest outpouring that mankind has ever seen. And while all this sin is abounding and going forth, the glory of God is going to be running parallel with it. And here, as an IV drip, you and I are getting in the Word, getting things cleaned up in our hearts, running before the Lord, and running before the Lord. So let's just say, let's take pornography. You deal with pornography, masturbation, gambling, whatever your flavor is, okay? You're dealing with that. Well, let's just say you started earnestly seeking God, and the next thing you know, you've gone 2 weeks without feeling it or whatever it may be, 2 weeks without gambling, and then you went and you gambled, and you fell, and you feel miserable. Wait a minute here. I want you to think about something. If you're doing this on an everyday basis, and now you just went 2 weeks, or even 1 week, there's victory. You repent. You sincerely repent. You continue praying. You continue getting alone with God. The next thing you know, it'll be 10 days. The next thing you know, it'll be 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Wow, next thing you find, you've gone a whole month without viewing pornography. Do you see victory coming? How great's the battle? Well, that'll determine how great your victory is. Next thing you know, you keep pressing in with God like this, and you're asking God for that fire. See, that's the purifying agent, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of fire, the fire of God. And it's wonderful, precious people. It's wonderful. And he loves you and he'll give it to you. But he wants you to cry out for it. He's not opposing his will. And as you keep seeking him and seeking him, what all of a sudden you've gone 3 months and you're not in the bar. You haven't had a drink. You haven't seen pornography. You haven't seen any of this. Oh, and then you fall. Well, the more you do that, now you're going to start feeling the grieving of God's heart because you're getting a conscience again. And you're picking up the heart of God and how he'll grieve you just on the inside of your stomach here, right on the inside of you here. And you keep pressing in. True repentance is wonderful. Godly sorrow is great. And you get before the Lord and you may struggle that whole day. Does it sound like, see, I've walked through some of these things, precious people, because God said, I need you sanctified. I need you consecrated to me. And so I had to press in and I had to learn how to fight these things. And I didn't learn it from a pastor, unfortunately. I ended up getting it right out of this word. And this is the importance of getting into the word. And so as I'm pressing in and as you're pressing in, next thing you know, you've gone 6 months. Well, now you can start seeing victory. And now you're like, hey, God, I'm doing this. We're winning. You know, it's not I'm winning. We're winning because it's his grace. It's his ability to do in you and I what you and I don't have the ability to do. And that's the wonderful part about all this. And as we keep going, all of a sudden you have victory on that. Maybe it's a year later. Maybe it's 2 years later. But 2 years later and you have victory. How you doing? Listen, we know we have seven. We know we have seven. There's a peace plan that has to be signed if it wasn't already signed. So we got about 7+ years maybe at this point. So you've got a couple of years. We get a little bit of time to get things, but things are going to keep revving up out here. And this is the importance. It has another hole to it. And so you're ready. Because when you get the garbage and the sin out of your heart, you can hear God much clearer. And let's just say you're going to a grocery store. And you get your mask because listen, whether you wear a mask or don't wear a mask, don't let that bother you. Okay? Walk with God. Listen to God. Okay? If you have to wear a mask to get into a store and you need something in that store, I was asking myself, well, what do I do? What do I do here? And I decided, well, I'll get one of those Batman and Robin masks that go across the eyes and I'll go in. If I have to put on a stinking mask, I'll put it on and I'll cut the string, you know, but if I need something or if I can get it online, I'll get it online. So I'm just going to avoid those places as much as possible. But coming back to this word and looking at the word and looking at our hearts, see, let's not make religious things out of things. Let's just look at the word. Let's do what we can. Let's not be conformed to the world, but let's continue to be transfigured before God. Okay, that we may know what is good, acceptable, and perfect will. So let's just say God's sending you back to that grocery store, and you got to get you need some stuff, so you got to go. All right, you're on your way, and now you got this sin on your life, and you're hearing God, and God says, don't go here, go to this other store up there. So you go to a different place. Later to find out there was a mass shooting or something else in that store. That is the Lord protecting you, but you have to hear his voice. And if you're full of sin, or if you made peace with your sin, you'll not hear his voice. I like to turn over, and I'm going to flip over to Psalm 66. It's verse 18 that I'm going to. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Are you regarding iniquity in your heart? See, Isaiah 59:2 says, if I keep iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So it's one thing when you're praying and you're asking God to bless you, give you directions on things, and you're praying and you made peace with sin. This is what's going to separate the lukewarm Christian from the true Christian. The true Christian is going to get the iniquity out of their heart. See, it's called dying 1,000 deaths, if you would. You know, when you look at the word and how Jesus laid his life down for us as an example, we're to lay our lives down as an example. And as we're looking at that word, and as we're ministering in the word, and we're ministering to the Lord, and we're talking to him. See, when you're dealing with sin in your heart and you're going before him, God's going to hear you because he loves you and he wants you set free. He's not condemning you, not even now. But he's telling you that he's showing you this is how you want to get out. You want to be free from the sin. He's now answering your question. And he's speaking right through me to you to where you can get your act cleaned up. And he wants this for you because he wants to flow through you, but you have to be a sanctified vessel.
Amen. Pastor Dave, you're doing fabulous. This is the test run for your Monday night, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. Pastor Dave is going to be ministering the Word of God on Facebook, YouTube, on Blog Talk Radio. We just spent a number of days up there in South Dakota with Pastor David and Victoria, heard his testimony. You need to hear Pastor Dave's testimony. It is rich. He's talking about something so important to us right now because we have to be vessels meet for the master's use. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 says that in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but of wood, hay, and stubble. And if a man will purge himself of these things, he will be a vessel meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. And in this time of destruction that's coming around the earth, there are going to be the saints of God who are going to be doing exploits in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And an exploit may be something as simple as taking somebody and hiding them in your home, or giving somebody food that doesn't have any food, or helping somebody, praying over people. Whatever the exploits are going to be through your life, you are a vessel that Christ has purchased. You're the bone of his bone and the flesh of his flesh. So it's through you that God is going to do exploits. And so this message is imperative. And Pastor Dave, I got to tell you, my heart is burning because I woke up this morning and shared with Patricia a prophetic word. And I'm just not sure if I'm supposed to release it right now over the airwaves or whatever it is, but it is highly prophetic. And I believe it's going to be very intense for the deliverance of God's people. And as I'm hearing you minister today, you're right in the groove of what the prophetic word is for the people of God. And I know that God has some amazing things lined up right now, saints. He's got amazing things lined up for you. He's got to get you loosed. He's got to get you fluid. He's got to get you flowing. He's got to get you getting ready to go into the direction he's going to lead your life. And it's going to be imperative because your life is going to touch many people's lives as we go. And what an amazing time we're in. So, Pastor Dave, go ahead and keep on keeping on. And let's just, what else has God put in your heart?
Operate in the peace. The peace of God is incredible. The peace of God. Tuesday night in prayer. Usually we're in intercessory prayer and we're praying for the nation. When we join together in prayer, we're not, we don't pray for ourselves. We just focus in on the things of God. And so as we're focusing in on the things of God and we're pressing in, what we do is we pray for Israel. We pray for the underground church. We pray for the persecuted church. We lift up the pastors that are still that are hungry for God, that may have slipped off into some other things, and they're not preaching the word of God the way they're supposed to be on the pulpits in our areas and across the United States. So we pray for them. But this past week, this last Tuesday, there was a presence of peace that came down upon this group. We've never had this. We've been praying like this for a few years now, but the presence of God, the peace of God, was so incredible. It was just, and everybody noticed it. It was different. And I was just thinking about the peace of God as a fruit in your life and my life. And so when you look at the peace of God, the fruit of the Spirit work with the gifts of the Spirit, precious people. And the fruit of the Spirit, peace, works great miracles. See, you know, oh, well, I thought faith did that. No, peace. See, when you go to pray for someone that's in a wheelchair, your own faith, my faith, ain't going to make that man or woman rise up. Or if they have missing limbs, it's not, or they're dead. Your faith and my faith won't do it. We can't muster that up. We can't work that up. But when you have that peace of God as you pray, that peace, that gentleness, Because with peace comes that gentleness. And that gentleness, that goodness of God, the gentleness is what works the miracles of God. See, the power gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of healings, the working of miracles and special faith, a lot of times they flow together. They literally work together. But you got to have the fruit of the Spirit. You got to have that love, the joy, the peace, the long suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the meekness, the temperance, you know, the faith. Everything is based on the main fruit. It's called love. Faith is activated, energized, and expressed on love. Going back to our first love, our very first love, when you look at it, it's like if those of you that are married, when you first started dating your wife, who turned out to be your wife or husband, that's the women dating the guys. when you start pressing in, you know, you long to be with her. You long to spend time with her. You long to, and you're gracious toward her or him. And you maybe Vince talks about the tone, okay? And sometimes we lose something. And over the course of our lives of being married, you know, the respect can drop off. We have to be careful, precious people, that we don't lose the respect one for another. Because, see, it's like meeting somebody on the street. It's, in America, anytime you meet someone on the street, there's automatic respect, but there's no trust. And, see, in the course of a marriage, see, we're building trust, and what happens is the respect comes down. Well, when you meet that person in the street and you get to know them a little bit, you show them the respect, but you don't trust them. But as you get to know them, the respect comes down and the trust goes up. But, see, we have to keep the respect for the Word of God up and let the trust of God come up in us. And as we're doing that, and as we're pressing in on the Word, then what we're discovering is that God's able to flow through us, and that faith will move from us because of the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And as we're developing this fruit, and precious people, we want the fruit to be in a position to where the world who needs to eat of this fruit, of the tree of life, if you would, because you and I represent life. We're the salt, we're the living water. And so when we are the salt and we deposit these things into their hearts, into their mouths, it makes them want to, you know, it makes them thirsty. And that thirst is for the living water, which is Jesus. So what does your fruit look like? Are you tenderhearted toward the lost? Yeah, I understand we can be grieved and our souls can be vexed sometimes. Even your own children perhaps can even, you know, if they have a foul mouth, that can really, you know, it can be, your ears ain't garbage cans, so it can grieve you from what you're hearing. But, you know, what kind of fruit are they seeing from you? What kind of fruit are you producing? Is that fruit of yours so high up that nobody can reach it? You know, ever go to a pear tree that grew up 40 feet and all the good pears are way up top? The average person that can't climb a tree can't get up to pick that fruit. And if the fruit falls to the ground, well, it gets bruised. So what kind of fruit are you producing, and where are you producing this fruit? See, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Notice out of your belly. Where's your belly? It's in the middle of you. So your fruit that you want people to be able to access this fruit. If they need love, they need a word of encouragement, a word of hope. See, you don't always have to preach Christ to them. You can be Christ to them. And as you're being Christ, you're making these deposits of salt. But if you go back in the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus said, if the salt has lost its flavor, this was a prophecy, by the way. If the salt has lost its flavor, it is good for nothing. Now listen here, listen. America is supposed to be the salt of the world. Oh, some of you are getting that. If the salt has lost its flavor, it's good for nothing except to be trodden underfoot. And what are the wicked trying to do in this nation right now? They are trying to trodden the Christians underfoot, trying to destroy this nation, our heritage. And why? Because the salt, you and I, and I'm talking of the church in general, so don't you take it very personal, but you and I have not done what God called us to do in being the salt. And so this is something that, you know, we really have to look at our hearts, and we have to look, why are we going to church? Let's take a look at that. Why are we going to church? is to get my one little hour of religion and then go live off the way of sin? Why? Why are we going to church? Why do you come to prayer? Why do you sing? It's not that you're singing in the choir. Why are you singing? How about if anybody's listening in California, you have the governor down there saying you can't sing. You know, I'll obey my government. I really will. And I'll try to accommodate them as best as I can. But when they start telling me I can't gather with my brothers and sisters, I'm laying down the law. I'm not going to, I will buck that. I don't care if I'm fine. I hope it don't have to go to where we have to get guns. But you know what? Sometimes that is necessary, but it ain't now. It ain't now. See, I believe we're still in the place where God can send ambushes, but it depends on our hearts. What happened to the salt? What's happening to America? It's being trampled down. And you and I, if we really want to point a blame, we can point it ourselves. Because God said, if my people, he's not talking about the ones that claim to be Christian in name only. See, they want to have the name of Christ. They want to act and look like they're Christians, but they don't act like they're Christians. No, that's having his name only. Okay, but see, a true Christian, people know who true Christians are, because what you see is when you become a true Christian, you're going to notice some of your friends that will claim they're Christians, they're going to start saying, well, you're going over on the deep end. You're getting a little too radical now. See, this is the separation. This is the chaff getting pulled away from the wheat. You know, we're going to have true wheat. You know what? Wheat bows. The tares don't. They just stand stiff. They're stiff-necked people. And so what are you? You get to be that choice. Maybe you were a stiff-necked person for a while. Maybe you were all those things that we were talking about a little bit earlier. But, you know, as you run to God, this is what's great about the Lord. He is so gracious and willing to forgive us because he loves you that much. That's the part that you and I can't fathom is how much he loves us. See, we need to be strengthened with might by his Holy Spirit in our inner man, right in here, our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we being rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded in God. God doesn't have love. God is love. And if we're rooted and grounded in love, if you and I are truly rooted, then we'll understand the depth, the length, the breadth and the height, and to know the love of Christ or to know the God of Christ and to be able to do these exploits. And when you pray for people, see, this is the thing that none of us will ever arrive or attain to, but we're striving as though we can. So every day it's one foot in front of the other. See, how do you renovate a 10,200 square foot building? You do it a room at a time. Why? You break the vision down. What about the rooms in your heart? How are you renovating them? Are you renovating them? See, when you go with it, see, this is where the prayer comes in. Because when you're in the prayer part, you're doing demo work. And that demo work, you're demolishing. You're literally demolishing these wicked idols that you may have set up, the evil one may have set up, someone else that may have influenced with you when you were younger and you didn't know any better. God set up. It doesn't matter how they're there, and you're recognizing, and now you can get those things out, and you start one room at a time. And once you get set free from pornography, once you get set free from gambling, once you get set free from fornication and cheating on your spouse, once you get set free from a sailor's mouth, once you get set free from whatever your flavor was, then you know what? God will show you something else that you and I get to work on. And we get to work on it. And this is the delight of the Lord, because he's pleased then, because you and I are making these steps to go forward. And as we press in, we're drawing near to him. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. But we have to draw near to him. Lift up those holy hands. How do you lift up holy hands if you're full of sin? You got to get the sin out. And see, this is something that you and I do on our knees, not running to a pastor and asking him to pray with you and to pray for you and to counsel you. No, you get in the Word. You let the Spirit of God counsel you. You let the Word of God speak to you, and you pray and you ask God for his power, because he has keeping power. See, all those that were in his hand, every one of them, he lost none. Do you know you are in his hand? Isn't that comforting? And yet he knows everything about us. It's kind of like one gentleman said from Iowa at the meetings that Pastor Vincent was conducting up here. He goes, you know, when I'm in there, in the shower, not me, this was him. But when he's in the shower, he raises his hands and he's standing there before God butt naked. He sees everything about him. See, when you realize that God sees everything about you as he sees everything about me, then guess what? There is no, behind me there's a closet. See, there is no hidden closet full of junk. There's no hidden closet full of junk. And that's in your heart. And so now we become the salt that now has flavor. And the salt that has the flavor, guess what? It leads others to the living water, and that's Jesus. Pastor Vincent.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Great teaching right now. And the imperative is coming in, the settling. The thought that the prophetic word I was going to share earlier, I'm going to reserve. That's a really important. We're going to wait, but let that incubate just a little bit more. But as you're talking, you know, maybe somebody's out there saying, well, what's the point of this? You know, we've heard these teachings before. This is so imperative that the body of Christ is really hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. You know, as I was sitting here listening and just began to allow, you know, the Spirit of God to, you know, kind of move and stir in my belly, Ezekiel chapter 21, ladies and gentlemen, let me just balance right now what I hear in the spirit of what God is saying. You be the judge, but here's what I'm hearing. In Ezekiel chapter 21, this is the third wave, okay? This just kind of came to my spirit as Pastor Dave was speaking. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward Jerusalem. Drop your word toward the holy places and prophesy against the land of Israel. Say to the land of Israel, thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against you, and I will draw forth my sword out of his sheath, and will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked. Seeing then that I will cut off from you the righteous and the wicked, therefore shall my sword go forth out of his sheath against all flesh from the south to the north, that all flesh may know that I, the Lord, have drawn forth my sword out of his sheath. It shall not return any more. And I'm warning you right now that the sword of the Lord is unsheathed. And in days, maybe hours, the next national disaster in the United States of America is going to take place. And what you're hearing from Pastor David right now is get your heart ready. Be sanctified. Be cleansed. Be washed. No stumbling stones, no rocks of offense, no fear, no pride, no jealousy, no envy, no ambition, selfish ambition. Get out of the way and let the Spirit of God wash you thoroughly through the blood of his Son. I'm telling you, this is a word of the Lord. There is an unsheathing happening. The sword of war is coming. And I want to continue, Pastor Dave, to read through Ezekiel 21. Because it's powerful, because it was the king of Babylon that was the sword of the Lord that was getting ready to go through the land. And this was written to Jerusalem and Israel. It is a word for the United States of America and Washington, D.C. I am of utter confidence that the sword of the Lord is going to strike at the heart of this nation, Washington, D.C., and throughout the land. This sword is coming. It's unsheathing. And it's just a prophetic warning. Go ahead, Pastor Dave.
You know, when I look at this and I look at what's coming on the land, and it's like there's a couple of pieces and we're gathering parts. And as we're putting these parts, prophecy continues to build on top of prophecy. And it creates this road to go forward. And as we're pressing in, we're going to see other things. Are there going to be hurricanes? We are under what they call a judgment cycle, and it's only going to increase. We have 7 years right now, or four, let's see, 24. So we've got four more years to go of these judgments that are coming on over America. And then this next eclipse is going to come over the land again. And see, most of these eclipses, when they happen like that, they go over water, so it's not a big deal. This specifically came across America, and it's coming across America again. It is warnings. God set these warnings out there for you and I. And see, I can share and I can tell you different things. And yeah, we've heard this all before, so to speak. But you know what? When we've heard it all before, and the Lord was coming, and the Lord was coming. Well, there hasn't been a third temple, and now they have that third temple, and it's not built yet, but they got it ready. It is built. It's not put together. Let's put it that way, because it'll be a quick work, and they'll be able to set that up. They got all the pieces, all the parts are in play. You know, maybe with this president, because he's done so much for the church, he's given us a little bit of a reprieve. Maybe it's allowed us to have a minor break. But there are areas in this nation that are going to experience the judgment of God. And there are areas that, you know, does California go off? Listen, we just had a 7.8 in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, California is not shaking it. But there is coming a day in a season, and God may be pulling, and he has been pulling people out of California, and yet he's been gathering people into other cities in California. He is bundling people together based on the decisions they're making, whether they're going to live for the gospel or not, and what they're standing for. You know, they're standing for LGBT. Hey, listen, you people, LGBT, we love you. We bless you. And we ask God to give you a spirit of repentance, that you may be saved from this the destruction and the wrath of God that is to come. But it's very clear in the Word, and we cannot and will not compromise the integrity of the Word of God. I will believe what's in this Word. Call me a fanatic as you will, but you know what? Sin is sin. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. Okay? And God did not like it. If man sleeps with a beast, which they're now allowing, I think Canada allowed that you can marry a pet now. This is sick. This is twisted. What they're doing out there in the streets, that they said when they'll call right wrong and wrong right. When you're defending your house and that's called wrong, seriously, because of some people with some bugs coming in and they broke down the gate and they wanted to destroy your house. You're not going to defend your house. And if you do, that's wrong. Seriously, they will call right wrong and wrong right. You know, think about offense. Look at the offense. Oh, I'm offended over this. I'm offended over that. Look at the offense that's in the church, for Pete's sake. Look at it. You know, oh, I'm offended. Oh, the pastor didn't say hi to me. Oh, I'm hurt. Really? Grow up. You know, this is not a time for you to have a pity party. This is not a time for you to feel sorry for yourself. This is a time for you to put your boots on, your pants on, and pull them up by the bootstraps and pick yourself up by the bootstraps. Get into this Word, repent, and get right with God. This is a time, and it is short, and it's running out, because we are coming to a time that, man, as Pastor Vincent has said in the past, he said, listen, you work while it's day, because the night comes and no man's going to be able to work. And if you can't hear God now and trust God now and what you to do, and if you ain't willing now to deal with the sin in your heart, and I'm sorry I keep going back to the sin, but this is what keeps coming up out of me, so I have to deal with this. Deal with this wickedness. Clean up your act, not in your own strength and your own power. Hit your knees. Run to God. Confess it. And watch him move on your behalf, because God so loved you. He loved you that he gave his son. And now let me ask you something as an ambassador of Christ. Do you love the world like God loved the world? And you're out there to share the gospel with people? Are you allowing them to pick that fruit? See, this is what you and I have to do. We have to lay down our lives, and it's going to cost us. You know, it's going to cost us. Some of us may die preaching the gospel. You know, some of us may face a guillotine. So, you know what? God never promised you a happy life. He asked you to be faithful to him. He to follow me. He asked you to count the cost. But you know what we hear from pastors today? I want any one of you to find this in the scripture. Oh, come on up. Let's say this sinner's prayer. Oh, you're good. You're saved. You're going to heaven. Where's that in the Word? It's not. It's not in this Word. It is not in this book, precious people. And yet these lies, doctrines of devils, are coming from the pulpits that we call churches in America. And people, we're sucking it in like, oh, okay. Pastor said, oh, I said this prayer. Now I can go to the bar and drink. Or I can go cheat on my spouse. Mm-hmm. Precious people, you're the best God has.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you ain't willing to be real and transparent, you think you're going to impact somebody's life for the positive when you don't need – see, if you can't handle these riches that God placed in you and get them right, you think he's going to trust you the true gifts of the Spirit? Mm-hmm. And say, we need them. See, when you look at the deputy, when the sorcerer tried to depart the or turn the deputy away from the faith as Paul was preaching, Paul knew what he was up to. He was aware of it. And he turned and he said, the hand of the Lord is upon you. And I don't like pointing at people when I do this, just in case it happens. But the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind for a season, not seeing the sun. Well, let's just say Antifa shows up and they start to demonstrate at your church. And you're stirred in your spirit by the Spirit of God. And you stand, and who's ever up on the pulpit says, the hand's upon you. The hand of God's upon you. You shall be blind. Guess what happens? One, two, three of them go blind. What do you think that's going to do for the church? How about Ananias and Sapphira? All they did was lie to the Holy Ghost. They came to Peter. Oh, they could have said, hey, Peter, you know, we want to step in. We want to believe with the rest of you. But, you know, there's a part of us that we're just not sure. So we kept back part of the price of the land that we sold. But that's not what they did. They came forth and they said, they acted like, oh, they're all in. Are you acting like you're all in? Because the day is coming again where the Ananias and Sapphira are going to drop dead. Are you one of them? See, if you're not all in, don't act like you're all in. Just say, I want it, but I'm not quite there. Be at least honest, and then you'll be protected. But see, if we think we're going to play games like it's going to be, oh, how it's always been, I'm going to tell you, no, we have a new day coming, precious people. It is a new day, and it's a day that is going to shake the nations. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And guess what's going to get shaken? The churches. The churches are going to get shaken that ain't preaching the word of God. The churches are going to get shaken that are just playing God. They have a form of godliness, but there's no power. There's no dynamis. There's no gifts. There's no love. There's no passion for Christ. These churches are going to get shaken, and that's why they close their doors. And some of these pastors gotten a warning, and some of them come out and said, well, I'm not closing my doors ever again. Well, I'd like to see what's going to happen as these next waves come. Are they going to close their doors? And it's not about staying open because of pride. No. Please don't misunderstand me. The day may come where there may be a real biological weapon that's been loose on America. And there may be times where you have to stay hunkered down. This is how we have to hear the voice of God. But you, like I said, you cannot hear them if you're embracing sin. You know, so we have to clean up. We have to be ready. Let me ask you this. Is your precious spouse worth you cleaning up your heart? How about your children? Where are they going to go? What if they come running to you and ask you for answers, but you haven't been serious with God? Will you have an answer to give them? See, these are things that we have to look at. We got to see what's coming. A wise man foresees the evil. It's not that we're fearful of what's coming, but we're ready for what's coming. Why? So we can be that light of the gospel. We can minister to a need as led by the Spirit. Because not everybody that comes to your door knocking, asking for help, are you assigned to help? Some of them are con men. They'll look you right in the eye. Oh, dear God, do we not have them now? Look at them, these TV evangelists and everything else. You know, some of them made $320 million, and they had to get the PPP from the government because they're only making $220 million. Wow. You know, you're telling me a church can't operate a budget on $220 million? Mm-hmm. Seriously? Mm-hmm. And they apply, and that kept small business owners from receiving the PPP plan from the government, how they was passing it out? Really? And then sitting there saying, you know, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. You know, they're so full of themselves. And you know what? These are the many. These, I believe, are the many that say, Lord, we did this and we did that. And he's going to say, depart from me, for I don't know you. You know, there may have been a time. And I believe most of these ministers have started out right. And you know what? Perhaps God will grant them repentance. But it's going to take a serious shaking. You know, what's it going to take for them to wake up? We can pray for them. But, you know, they have to have that heart change. And sometimes, you know, oh, dear God, I don't even want to go there. But you know what? I am not going to crucify Christ afresh. I'm just not going to do that.
Amen.
And I yield back to you, my brother.
All right. Okay. Very good. So what a great moment here. Now, I have on the screen the rest of Ezekiel 21. I'm going to reserve that for tomorrow. I'm not going to go into that. I need to kind of just shift a little bit. Because I need to talk to our listeners right now and tell you what happened, okay? And I want to share this with you, so tune in, especially you, David. And I love what David Ellison said in the chat box. He says, if Antifa shows up at our church, out comes my peacemaker, my 45. Let God sort him out. All right, that's funny. That's good, Dave. I appreciate that. I want to say hello to Diane Gravely. Good for you, Diane. Meat of the word. I'm so glad you're chewing on the meat. Hallelujah. Sonia says, a wise man foresees the evil. Keep preaching, Pastor Dave. Thank you, my brother. So that's from Tyler, Sonia, Pastor David coming in. So there's a lot of good stuff there. But here's what I want to say. Saints, are you tuned in? Are you listening right now? I want you to know, those of you who have prayed for Patricia and I to receive an RV, remember, some of you, there was an $850. That's what people from the Facebook and the YouTube gave, $850 in donations, because they said, here, I want to sow into your RV. Remember, we said if we had an RV, we would hit the road. Well, we went up to South Dakota. The man you're listening to right now, Pastor Dave, is a result of going out in conference, because God said, it's time for Patricia and I to go out wherever people want to gather together, and we're going to minister and see what God's going to do. South Dakota, Pastor David and Victoria are a part of that. You're seeing and witnessing what God's doing there. I want you to know that an RV has been fully purchased and given to Patricia and I. I want you to know that a man and his wife were called by God years ago to supply the kingdom of God, the work of the kingdom. They have honored Patricia and I, believing that our work is a useful work for the kingdom. They have released $36,000 to buy the RV. It has now been purchased. The $850 that was given towards the purchase of that RV. The total price with sales tax was $37,500. It has been paid in full. The tags are on it. The license plate is given. Patricia and I have received a blessing. I want to thank every single one of you who gave your part, and I want to thank the man and his wife who also gave to this RV. Patricia and I are ready to go. We have an RV. It's working beautiful. It's a 2006 Dolphin, 26,000 miles. We're about to put as many miles on that as we can. We want to come to your part of the country. We want to sit down with the saints of God like we did in South Dakota, like we did in Tyler. This time we won't be in hotels. We won't be shopping at restaurants or going to restaurants. We have an RV to live in. Pastor Dave, I'm so blessed and so thankful that this has happened, and I'm praising God for it. And I just wanted to say to our listeners out there, thank you for your prayers. A lot of people here at home were praying constantly that this would come through, and it came through in a supernatural way. And to the man and his wife who gave this gift, you know who you are. God bless you. Thank you for what you did in honoring Patricia and I and the work of the ministry. We're not going on vacation. We are looking for areas to go to start churches, because the darkness is coming. We believe God revealed it. It is time to gather the saints. The first fruits of Acacia are Tyler. South Dakota is coming, and how God's going to network it all together is entirely up to him. However, ladies and gentlemen, God has answered your prayers, and we are ready to come to you. Pastor Dave, is that awesome or what?
That is wonderful. That is so wonderful. Just praise God. And this is what I'm talking about. The blessing, when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he adds these things. He opens up the doors. He makes the way. He makes a river in the desert. And this is the God that we serve. And we have to learn to trust him. And when we do things, he will come back and he'll just rock and roll for us, you know, and praise the Lord.
Amen. Now, listen, I'm seeing Pastor Kevin Honeycutt is just watching right now. Pastor Kevin, there's a relationship here that we need to develop. So I want to make sure I bring you back here. And Pastor Kevin, also start thinking about the Feast of Tabernacles, October 2nd to October 9th. Pastor Dave and Victoria are invited, and all the saints from South Dakota, to come into Northwest Arkansas if they can make it. We hope so, along with our friends from Tyler and New York, Vinny Pots and Pans. Come on, Vinny, get the police officers. Come on down. You're gonna have an unforgettable experience. And so let's get going, folks. Patricia and I are on assignment right now. We are ready. God has furnished the blessing to go. If you live anywhere in this country and you want us to come and do a conference like we did in South Dakota, you want us to pray, we have useful material resources right here in Northwest Arkansas, men of God in there that have been raised up to go and be pastors if you need them. We are ready to go. It's time to work. The darkness is coming. Tomorrow, I'm going to release that word out of Ezekiel 21. It's so rich right now with the nutrients of heaven. We need to talk about that. But praise God, pass the ammunition. I'm hearing my friend Donna, fabulous news. God is going to use you too to inspire many churches in America. Thanks to the gift of this RV you've been given. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Pastor Dave, we've got just a few minutes left. Your final words to the body today.
I want you to know each and every one of you is valuable. You know, you're worth so much more than you realize to the Lord. He died for you. He loves you. And he wants you to be with, forever with him. And he embraces that moment. He looks forward to seeing you and I as we get caught back up to be with him in the air, to forever be with the Lord, never to be separated from him. He loves you so much. He says you can make it and you're worthy and you are valuable. You know, you are his righteousness. See, your righteousness is of him. And he wants you to know that it doesn't matter what you're walking through right now, because the dross is coming to the top so he can remove that and make you a better vessel for his good pleasure and purpose. So that's my final word for you out there.
All right.
God loves you and he wants you to press in.
All right. Pastor David Obenauer, Monday night, 8 o'clock, blogtalkradio.com/ROFM, River of Fire Ministries, ROFM. They're going to be broadcasting. They're going to share it on their Facebook, River of Fire Ministries. They're going to be sharing it on YouTube, River of Fire Ministries. Monday night, 8 o'clock, Pastor Dave's going to be preaching. Brother, thank you so much, and God bless you for joining me today. And we'll
thank
look forward
for
to seeing
me,
you
brother.
Again real soon.
I look forward to serving you.
God bless you, my friend. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are coming to the end of our broadcast today. And I want to just thank everybody for tuning in. God bless you for doing so. What an amazing moment we are in. Here's been my journey, my experience. When we do things that are complementary to the Father's heart and his will, he provides. He has provided. We are serious about our work. We believe with every fiber of our being that there are cities out there with saints that are willing to gather together. We are nothing in ourselves. You know that. We have no boast in Patricia or I. But when we show up, God does some stuff. And it's real. And it's genuine. We want to be a blessing. We know that the time will come when the lights will go out. But there will be home fellowships all over this country. Part of our assignment is to go find those saints who are like-minded, who understand what time it is, who are wanting to prepare. I'm so proud of our friends in Tyler. I'm getting emails from them. They are already gathering. How do we prepare? What are we going to do? They're getting their strategies worked out. I'm so thankful to God, and we want to be a constant part of those ministries as well. So I'm going to leave it there right now. Tomorrow I'll be on the air. I'm going to release this word out of Ezekiel, and I've got something for the Feast of Tabernacles that God downloaded in the Spirit. It's going to be awesome. I want you to remember to put on your calendar October 2nd to the 9th. Make it a point to honor the Lord, to come to his Feast of Tabernacles. October 2nd through the 9th. Come on into Northwest Arkansas. There are hotels everywhere. If you bring a tent, you could camp out on our property. If you have an RV, you could bring it to the property. We are going to prepare. We're going to have a big tent out there. We're going to have the barbecues going. We're going to have the men of God, the women of God, the Word of God. And I believe it is absolutely strategic for God's people to gather together to celebrate the feast in the economy of heaven. So put that on your calendar. God bless each and every one of you. I will see you tomorrow with bells on. Next week, Pastor Kevin Honeycutt is going to be joining me. And who knows what else God's going to do. I'm going to talk to Pastor Kevin. Until we meet again, saints of God, this is Pastor Vincent Xavier. You've been listening to The Watchman here on Blog Talk Radio, Omega Radio, Facebook, YouTube, And you've just listened to Pastor David Obenauer. Make sure you connect with their ministry. We met them. We love them. They're awesome people. Their church is awesome. What a beautiful group of saints. Minnesota, we're waiting for your invitation. Iowa, we're waiting for your invitation. New York, we're waiting for your invitation. Colorado, California, we're waiting for your invitation. Ohio, we're waiting for your invitation. Virginia, we're waiting for your invitation. We are ready to go. God bless everybody. Have a super blessed Thursday. We're out for now. Right now, Omega Radio, 24 hours a day. There's a roundtable discussion. My beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier, the author of the book Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, is leading that right now. OmegaRadio.org. Go listen. You won't be disappointed. May God bless you. Until tomorrow, shalom and God bless.